So we're turning to God's word, to the book of Philemon. We've been thinking on this little letter over the past number of weeks, and we're turning to it for the final time this morning. Instead of preaching as expository, we'll be going through that little letter. And today we're going to really take the theme. It's a thematic sermon today, really around forgiveness. So not really explaining this particular letter anymore, but again, using this as a launching pad for what we want to say today. So Philemon, I'm reading from verse 1 through to the end of this lovely little letter. This is the word of God. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith, so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become both useful to you and to me. I am sending him back, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do will not be spontaneous and not forced. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do not wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one more thing. Prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Any there, we know that God will indeed bless the public reading of his word. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, again, we say thank you for the reading of the precious word of God. And we say thank you for this lovely little letter, which perhaps has often been neglected. But yet we say thank you, because as we have made our way through this lovely little letter, it has surely spoken to your hearts about the need of forgiveness. And as we would think on that great theme this morning, the need of forgiveness, that you will come, that you will speak primarily to the hearts of your own children today. As we really wrestle with that question, why should Christians forgive? May that be within all of us, a willingness to forgive those who in any way have wronged us. So Lord, would you just indeed quieten our hearts? May you bring that hush across our congregation this morning, even as we were thinking this morning with the children, would you really, Lord, unstop our ears that we would hear the word of God, and that as that word would come to us afresh, and may it again change us even for time and for eternity. We pray these things for Christ's sake alone. Amen. Forgiveness is usually costly, and sometimes it's never easy. Is it not true when someone we love hurts us, either physically, emotionally, or mentally, it can be extremely difficult to forgive? And yet, if we're truly born again of the Spirit of God, if we truly are saved, then that's what we're called to do. Over the past month, we've been considering Paul's letter to Philemon, and we have discovered that the main theme of this beautiful letter is that of forgiveness. Paul was writing to this man of spiritual caliber. He was writing to him to encourage him to forgive his runaway slave. And if you were with us last week, you might remember how we thought about how Paul owed to himself, to Onesimus, to God, to be willing to forgive. Well, this morning I want to draw this short series to a close. And in doing so, I want to try and pull all those strands that we have thought about over the past few weeks, all those strands that we have gleaned from the letter of Philemon, and we want to try and apply that to our own hearts this morning. And so the little sermon title is, Why Should Christians Forgive? Why should Christians forgive? And as I lead into that, I must make it absolutely clear that what I'm saying this morning is for those who know and love the Lord in a personal way. Maybe there are those in this meeting house or those in days ahead who will listen to the CD or via the website, and that hasn't happened. You're still a stranger to God's saving grace. You've never personally known the forgiveness of sin. Well, today I remind you of God's grace. He's willing to save those who respond to his call. But I must be faithful, and I remind you that the clock is ticking. And one day your life will be over. And one day you will be called upon to stand before a holy God. And if you have not been forgiven of your sins, if you have not repented of that, then God's word says you will face the terrible wrath of a holy God, that you will spend all eternity in hell. Surely the past week, even as we have watched those images of that tar block going up in flames, and how many, many hours afterwards it was still burning and they were trying to get it under control. As I watched that, I thought it's a visual reminder of what hell will be like, except in hell there will be no quenching of the flames. And so in love, we say to you today, if you have never experienced God's grace and God's forgiveness, then please, please flee from the wrath that is to come. However, this message today is primarily for every Christian. And first and foremost, we should forgive because God has forgiven us. We should forgive because God has forgiven us. And if you're truly born again of the Spirit, then as an individual, you have come to that experience of knowing God's grace, of knowing that you've been forgiven by God. And my, that's a wonderful thing. Time and again, I've reflected on Psalm 103 and verse 12, which reads, As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And often as I've thought about that, I've thought, isn't that amazing? As far as the east is from the west, we can't measure that distance. And yet so far has God removed our transgressions from us. And coupled with that, the wonderful verse in Isaiah 43 and 25, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sin no more. Does that not thrill your heart this morning, Christian? That God chooses to remember your sin no more, that he has graciously removed your sins as far as the east is from the west. Not because of anything that we have done, but because of his grace and his mercy, because of the cleansing that we have experienced through the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. What a wonderful, gracious God we have. Arthur Pink explains things like this. He says, Christ comes with a blessing in each hand, forgiveness in one, holiness in the other. And if we sin against a fellow believer, that sin is an offense on two levels. We sin against the brother himself, and we also sin against the Lord. And the scriptures make it clear the latter offense is by far the more serious of the two. 2 Samuel chapter 11, we read of King David who sinned by committing adultery with Bathsheba and then set about to have her husband Uriah placed at the front of the battle where he would be killed. And as David reflected on his sinful action, he poured out his heart in Psalm 51. And in verse 4, he declares, against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. In verse 7 of that psalm, David asked God to cleanse him so that he could be clean. Verse 10, he asked God to create within him a pure heart. And in verse 12, he pleads to God to restore the joy of his salvation. You see, God could have wiped David out, but he graciously forgave him and he graciously brought him back to a place of usefulness. And again, does not bring us back to what we have been thinking over this past month in the letter of Philemon. Onesimus, whose name meant useful, he had become useless because he ran away. But again, through that wonderful conversion, he was returning to his owner, no longer as a slave, but indeed as a brother in Christ, someone who indeed would be useful. Well, maybe there's a Christian brother or sister who has hurt you, who has offended you, and maybe you're unwilling to forgive. Let me remind you that God has forgiven you, and therefore it's imperative that we learn to forgive one another. Yes, we should forgive because God has forgiven us, but I want you to realize how serious this is. Because a failure to forgive is a breach of God's law. Christians who deliberately refuse to forgive are guilty of breaking the sixth commandment, which is found in Exodus 20 and 13. You'll know that sixth commandment. You shall not murder. And maybe right away you're saying, well, here, that's a bit strong. But let me explain. In the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus, of course, was preaching. It's recorded there in Matthew chapter 5 through to 7. And Jesus explained that the commandment not to murder goes well beyond the actual act of taking someone's life, but actually concerns the way we think about other people. Listen carefully to the words of Jesus as recorded in Matthew 5, 21 and 22. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said to people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin, but anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. The truth is that an unforgiving spirit, it allows malice to simmer and keeps anger warm. It reviews old grievances and it brings them back to boiling point. And sometimes such a mindset betrays a lack of a sense of proportion. It's interesting that those who are convinced that they should be forgiven without delay, on the assumption that their offenses against someone else are trivial. However, the same people can at times feel completely justified in withholding forgiveness on the grounds that the offenses against them were monstrous. We need to learn to forgive one another, or indeed we will be guilty of breaking the sixth commandment. Perhaps the stark reality is this, my friends. The stark reality is that we want God to forgive us. But maybe at times we're reluctant to forgive others. And the bottom line at times is that we want forgiveness on our own terms. Jeffrey Wilson captures that when he writes, "There can be no thought of cheap forgiveness when we remember that our redemption cost God the life of his beloved Son." And so we dare not even begin to think that we can have forgiveness on our own terms. So why should Christians forgive? Because God has forgiven us. Because of a failure to forgive is a breach of God's law. But let's push this a little further, and we note failure to forgive leads to a breach of fellowship. A breach of fellowship. A failure to forgive others will mar your fellowship, firstly, with God. Listen to more words from Jesus in that Sermon on the Mount, this time from Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15, where Jesus said, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Wayne Grudem in his Systematic Theology makes this important point. He says, "Our Lord does not have in mind the initial experience of forgiveness we know when we are justified by faith, for that would not belong in a prayer that we pray every day. He refers rather to the day-by-day relationship with God that we need to have restored when we have sinned and displeased him." And you've heard me say before from this pulpit, we need to keep short accounts with God. And if you're aware of things in your life that haven't been put right, then put them right with God. The bottom line is, if you're unwilling to forgive others, it will create a barrier between you and God, and ultimately he will distance himself from you. Yes, when there's a breach and a breakdown of fellowship between two Christians because one has offended the other, it's very sad. However, it's much more serious than just being sad, because a failure to resolve the matter also creates a breach between the unrelenting party and God. Our fellowship with God is spoiled when we're willing to forgive. J.C. Ryle put it like this: "No prayers can be heard which do not come from a forgiving heart." You might remember when I started this series 5 weeks ago, I said, look, if I have offended you in any way, then I'm deeply sorry for that. And if you feel that I have wronged you in any way, then please speak to me about that so that things can be put right. I was mildly delighted that there wasn't a big queue to see me. No one has spoken to me about anything on that regard. But again, I would reiterate that. If I personally have offended you, then let's talk about that. Because if there's a barrier between you and I, and if there's a barrier sets in between you or me and God, then that fellowship is marred. We ought not want to be any barriers to blessing. But of course, we must remember that a refusal to forgive will also mar our fellowship with other believers. Imagine if then you thought that through and you thought, well, okay, I'll go and speak to Brian. There is something there. I'll go and speak to him about a situation where I feel that he that you have wronged me with. And I met with you and I said to you, well, that's too bad, but I don't believe I owe you an apology. Surely a merciful God is angered by a merciless streak in his servants. And that's drawn out in Matthew chapter 18 as Jesus tells the parable of the unforgiving servant. The servant, you remember it well, he comes before the king. Matthew 18:24 informs us that the servant owed the king 10,000 talents, or as a little footnote in the NIV puts it, millions of pounds. He begged for mercy from the king, and subsequently the king took pity on him, and what? He cancelled the debt. What a relieved man he must have been. But of course, that's not the end of the story. He went outside, and in verse 28 tells us he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a few hundred denarii, or as the footnote explains, a few pounds. In turn, the man begged for mercy, but the servant who had been forgiven so much by the king was unwilling to show any mercy and treated him in an outrageous way. The other servants saw this hypocrisy and reported him to the king. And in verse 33, we read, the servant was handed over to the jailers to be tortured. You see, if you deny a broken and repentant brother the forgiveness he seeks, then that surely is hypocrisy. If God has shown mercy, if God has shown forgiveness to you, then you should be willing to show mercy and forgiveness to a brother or sister who genuinely comes and seeks forgiveness from you. But as recorded in the parable, if you refuse to forgive, you will ultimately disappoint and exasperate other Christians when they learn of your refusal to relent. And so I say to you today, let us not breach fellowship with God. Let us not breach fellowship with one another. Let us learn to forgive. So why? Why should Christians forgive? We should forgive because God has forgiven us. And we've also discovered that a failure to forgive is a breach of God's law that leads to a breach in fellowship, which in turn hinders worship. Why do we gather here on a Sunday? Why do we gather here Lord's Day by Lord's Day in this meeting house? Well, primarily we gather to worship God. But the teaching from the scriptures is that if we bear grudges in our hearts, then actually we're unfit to worship a holy God. Again, I return to the words which Jesus spoke during the Sermon on the Mount, this time Matthew 5, 23 and 24. And we read these strong words, not from the preacher today, strong words from Jesus, where Jesus said, therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. You got that picture clear in your mind? If you know that there are things that need to be resolved with a brother, with a sister in Jesus Christ, then the scripture's saying you ought to have that resolved. Let me bring you another quote from Geoffrey Wilson, who writes, an unforgiven sin presents an insuperable barrier to blessing. So the forgiveness of sins is the priceless boon which opens the door to every other spiritual blessing. Oh, it's marvelous that as believers in Christ, we have known the forgiveness of sins from a holy God, and therefore we should not want anything to be a hindrance as we worship with all of our hearts, with all of our souls, with all of our minds. It's a humbling thing to stop and to remember that as we gather in this place week by week, we gather to worship a pardoning God and to come before him withholding pardon towards someone else. It demonstrates in one area at least that we do not aspire to be like him. He who was willing to forgive, who has pardoned us, and yet perhaps we are unwilling to forgive and pardon someone else. And this principle holds good before we ever have any encounter with God. Whether that's in your own home in a private prayer, whether it's right now as you listen to this sermon, or whether it's on those occasions when we meet around the Lord's table at a communion service. How foolish you are if you're unwilling to forgive, because ultimately it will hinder your worship of God. So today we've been asking this why question of ourselves. Having pulled together all those strands from the book of Philemon, we've been asking why should Christians forgive? And in answering that question, I've said we should forgive because God has forgiven us, and how a failure to forgive is a breach of God's law, and it is a breach of fellowship that hinders worship. As I conclude, I do so by reminding you of the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. As the sinless Son of God was crucified, we hear his cry from the cross as recorded in Luke 23 and 34. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Those who had caused the Lord Jesus to suffer so much, and yet at the final breath he was saying, Father, forgive them. Know what a challenge, because Jesus was willing to forgive even those who did not ask for forgiveness. And if you're truly saved, then surely you will want to follow the example of the Lord Jesus, and you will ought to be willing to forgive. And so this morning, before a holy God, will you examine your heart? And if when you examine that heart, if you're aware that you're nursing grievances, if you're aware of bitterness that has perhaps been lurking there for some time, then will you today, with God's help, seek to be done with that? Seek to resolve that with one another. Oh, I say to you, life is too short to carry such things to the grave. And so I exhort you to follow the example of the Lord Jesus and learn to forgive. But perhaps as you think this morning, you think, but you know, that was okay for Jesus. He's different from us. He was the Son of God. And if that's how you're thinking, then I would point you in the direction of Acts chapter 7. And there we read how Stephen was bold to speak out against the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was outraged and gave orders to stone Stephen to death. Do you remember how Stephen responded? Well, listen carefully. Acts chapter 7. Verses 59 and 60, we read. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and he cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he said this, he fell asleep. Stephen was willing to follow the example that he had seen in the life of Jesus. And even at the very moment of death, he was willing to forgive. The sad fact is that many churches have been rendered ineffective by an indignant refusal to be reconciled. And the Presbyterian Church in Ireland is not immune in that regard. Sadly, many congregations have known that conflict and indeed have been rendered ineffective. Many times during my ministry here, I've highlighted the necessity for unity. And today, that's how I would conclude this sermon and conclude this short series. As the people of God, may we truly learn to forgive one another. May we have unity with one another. And when that happens, Psalm 133 reminds us, we will know the blessing of God. May it be so for God's glory alone. Amen. Let's pray together.